This is your lucky night. You get two doc notes. The other night, come around if you will, Kent. The other night I introduced a doc note that's just a brief elaboration. The key words in Isaiah 53, doc note number 31. So tonight you're able to ask for both doc note 29 and doc note 31. Reading from Isaiah 53, verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Here it is in the Hebrew with keywords circled. There are four words that are critical. Born. And we compared it. The reason I did this is to let you see why so many of the versions will translate Isaiah 53 differently. The King James, as I read it to you, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Born is the word in the Hebrew noso. It's a primary root, one of the primary root words. It's to lift in a great variety of applications. To not repeat what we said the other night, but to go quickly to the alternate that most adequately explains what happened, because we know that this was accomplished on Calvary, where the Lord laid on him the iniquities and sicknesses of us all, to carry away or to take away or up by taking the burden himself, as for example another translation of the word nasa, to wear, to literally wear our sins and infirmities. Think about that for a minute. And come to me. He put our sins on him and wore them as a garment. Galatians 3 says, as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse of the law. And I've pointed this out many times. The Greek is so precise. They would not use the same word for being under a roof as in the English, where the roof is not falling, and being under leaves that are falling on you. They have a different word for being under something that's falling and something that's not falling. In the Greek of Galatians, it's the word for being under something that's falling. As many as are of the works of the law, that is, judged by our works, are under the curse of the law. It's falling. And the only thing that can save us is for it to fall on something or someone else. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Again, the Greek is very precise in that next phrase. Literally, we're allowed to pass out from underneath the falling curse, being made, speaking of Christ, a curse for us. In our place, it fell on him. There's a passage in Zechariah's prophecies where Joshua, the high priest, is a type of all of God's people, appears before God, and Satan the accuser is there, and he berates him because he's wearing dirty garments. To put it in the vernacular, in the modern, God says to Satan, shut your mouth. Just shut your mouth and don't accuse him anymore. And then orders that his dirty garments be taken away off of him, and literally, in the Hebrew, festive garments be put on him. We put on festive garments. We are clothed with the righteousness of Christ. God views us as though the fulfillment of the law and the works of the law perfected by Christ in his life are now our garment. I often use the phrase, he looks at us through the spectacles of Christ. Because the Lord put on him, as he put on Joshua representing us, festive garments, and took off the dirty garments. The Zechariah prophecy doesn't include what is in Isaiah 53. Our dirty garments were put on him, and the curse fell on him. He literally bore our sins. He didn't just stand in for sinners. He mediated the price of redemption by having every sin of man, past, present, and future, put on him, and he wore it as a garment. And when God judged him with the wrath of God, the curse that was falling, every sin was judged in Christ. He literally wore our sins. That's why when we go to the table of the Lord, I tell you over and over again to discern the powerful meaning of this cup. In the service this morning, better than I've heard her sing in a long time, Tony sang the song, "The Blood Has Never Lost Its Power." When God looks at this cup, he's reminded of the life of his own dear son being poured out because the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. The garment of our sin was worn by him. And the wrath of God was poured out on Christ, whose own blood containing his life poured out in my place and your place. And when Paul warned the Corinthians not to partake unworthily, using the adverb unworthily, he never said don't partake unworthy. We're all unworthy. He said, don't partake unworthily. And then he defined it as partaking, not discerning the Lord's body, not seeing and understanding what this symbolizes, what this means. Viewing it as God views it. And being received by God because we view it as he views it. Reckoning our sins dead with Christ on the cross, not just our past sins, our present and future ones. He wore them all as a garment. And we unworthy creatures, clothed with our dirty garments of sin, shed those garments, they're put on him, he wears them, he died in our stead, and we can be clothed with the festive garments of Christ's own righteousness, and viewed by God as seated in heavenly places with him, as we look beyond this symbol and understand we are indeed made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. Take the cup in that understanding as we lift it together now in Jesus' name. But the verse I'm quoting has to do with physical sickness. Next verse goes on to say, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He poured out his blood for our sins. But the night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and broke it. He said, this is my body which is broken for you. There were always two elements typified. As God in type and shadow looked forward to the substance to be fulfilled when Christ died. And the night he was betrayed, Jesus was partaking of the Passover. In the Passover in ancient Egypt, they killed the lamb on the threshold and put the blood on the posts and then went in the house and shut the door. And when the death angel passed over that night, the blood on the post was a token or sign of their obedient faith in God's promise that if they put that blood on the door, they would be spared. That's what the wine symbolizes. But inside, they were to do something else. Having been spared the death that came upon the Egyptians, the type of sin, the lamb dying and its blood being the token of God passing over them, inside they ate the roasted lamb for strength. And they were to eat it with staff in hand and in haste, knowing that they were going to be delivered. Their very posture, the symbol of the staff in hand, the eating in haste, was with expectancy. I've said this many times. Psalm 105 declares, God brought them forth from Egypt, and there was not a feeble one in their midst. 3.25 million people, all healed that night as they ate the roasted lamb. And as the Passover feast went through the centuries, and Jesus gave it its ultimate meaning the night he was betrayed, he didn't just take the wine, he took the broken bread. He said, this is my body which is broken for you, because the same verb, born, and the other word, sabal, also outlined in Doc Note 31. To carry, strong to labor in the carrying. These two words, nosal and sabal, to wear and take off of us by bearing the full burden on himself, and to carry away. In the King James of Isaiah 53, have him lifting or carrying away or wearing our griefs and our sorrows. We're not left with just the option to choose among the many meanings of these Hebrew words, which are words in a small vocabulary language, words that give that variety of meaning to choose from and require the context to determine what the real meaning is. And there's little debate that he carried away and wore as a garment, whatever it is he's carrying. And there's little debate that he carried away and wore as a garment our sins, and that's symbolized in the blood, symbol of the wine. But Isaiah 53 in the King James translators robs us of the understanding that this second element points to another dimension. If all that's involved is sin, the blood is enough, because for sin comes death, and the life of the soul resides in the blood, and the wine symbolized the blood, and the pouring out of the blood was adequate carrying away of the sins. The bread is there because something else was accomplished. As in the night of the Passover, they ate the roasted lamb for strength. The blood on the door spared the household. The eating of the roasted lamb gave them strength, and not a feeble one in their midst went forth from Egypt. Matthew 8:17, after 16 verses of describing Jesus healing a leper, one sick of palsy, verses 2 and 6, and one with fever, the mother-in-law of Peter, in verse 15, and all that were sick, in verse 16, speaking strictly of physical sickness, Matthew then quotes this same passage in the New Testament Greek, saying himself that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now the Hebrew words are koli. Get on the note, if you will, which allows anxiety, calamity, and grief. But it also allows malady, disease, and sickness, and sorrows, makob, includes anguish, grief, pain, and sorrow, but also affliction. But the New Testament writer, with the, and come to me now, with the precision of New Testament Greek, makes the choice for us. It's physical sicknesses that Jesus is healing in Matthew 8, that it might be fulfilled, the gospel writer says, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself took our infirmities, diseases or sicknesses, and bear our sicknesses or afflictions. We have the same thing when Peter looks back in the later epistle, speaking of both the outpouring unto death, which is symbolized by the wine, and the bread symbol, when Peter, looking back, says, "With his stripes ye were healed." Likewise, Isaiah goes on to say, "With his stripes ye are healed." Night after night, day after day, God is, as much as anything, called me to tell the world that at this table of the Lord, you partake worthily. Unworthy we may be. We're made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. But we partake worthily when we discern what's provided by Christ's act, which is symbolized by these two elements. We're made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. With his stripes ye were healed. There are two elements here. The wine for the outpouring of his blood unto death, that we might be redeemed, as he wore as a garment our sins, and the wrath of God hit him. The bread, his broken body, symbolizing the many stripes with which he was whipped and broken and bruised. Because he also wore as a garment our sicknesses and our infirmities. And he carried away, by bearing the full weight on himself, of our sicknesses and infirmities. And when that is discerned and we take this bread, just as certain as we're made worthy by the blood of the Lamb, unworthy though we may be, seeing that in faith we're made worthy, unworthy we may be for healing, but as we discern that this bread is to take us back and remind us that the Lord laid on him our sicknesses and infirmities, he wore them too, and he carried them away bearing the full weight on himself, and it's my portion and your portion tonight to claim healing as we take this bread and say together in Jesus' name, "With his stripes I was, and ye were healed." Take it in that certainty tonight as we partake together in Jesus' name.